When you get to the
Sorry to interrupt.
Right. Session one is always going to be different. And it's the same at the end of the course. That is the end. How are we going to end? We're going to discover that tomorrow. And by the way, the test was never going to be on Saturday. It's always been on the timetable for Sunday because some of the stuff we cover today, we might get a question on in the test. So, so it's that's that bit. So it's session 2 to 8 where. Oh, and you can find this, sorry. You can find this now in your training manual. In the notes are starting and ending a course, and it's page 15 of starting and ending a course. So that's in the front of your manual. I think it's in the pink section.
Yeah, it
15,
is.
yeah. And what I'm realizing about this is I've got a maybe a little bit too chatty in parts of it, so it doesn't look very important. It might be better just in simple bullet points all the way through, and then you know exactly what you're doing. And I'm picking up something from the recordings. I think Pia, I think it was yours, when you kept talking about doing an exercise of last week, but actually you got the report on last week. And then you did the exercise for last week. And actually, I can hear some. Is it me rebounding? No, it's. Don't know what's going on. Sorry. As soon as your client arrives, okay, a welcome and so on, and we sit down. Now, the first thing we're going to do, even if your client says, "Oh, I'm so excited about this, I must have." No. We're always going to start our session with last week's exercise. Okay, so as soon as they arrive, that's that done. And I think it's a better, it's well, it's very nice actually. People have had a bad journey getting to you or whatever might have been going on. It's a very good way to start. And it's after that you say, okay, was that what you were doing? And they say, yes. And then you'll say, well, you will have been doing it 3 times, I hope. So you can start a bit of them checking then. And then, of course, how has your week been? What's it been like? Okay, so Pia, what was you were doing, which I noticed, and maybe I can't remember what the others were doing now. But it's doing last week's exercise straight away, and you didn't do it at all, Sebastian. So
No, true,
no.
yeah, no.
So that these are the things to catch up with, and so on. So I'm not being heavy-handed here. I'm just it was so good to listen to what was happening. So does that make sense, Pia? It kind of, well, for all of you, just to know that that's the first thing you're going to do.
Yeah, I realized that
Oh,
after
did
the
you?
recording. Oh,
Yes.
yeah. That's why it's good to do the recordings because
Yeah.
we talk about it and then we
Yeah.
read up about it. So
Yes.
it's great to do the practice days.
Yes,
Yeah, but I realized
yes.
it. Yeah.
And perhaps you realize that actually, oh, that is a sort of out of turn because you've already dealt with last week, so you wouldn't return to it at that point. There we go. It's a small point, but it's a good, it's a bit, it's quite useful.
Can I make a
So,
suggestion just really quickly?
yes.
If you do talk about it afterwards, if you include that with the recording, it might be helpful to us to hear what you to hear your feedback on each other as well. Rather than
Aha.
just the session, it would be nice to hear the discussion
Yes.
as well.
That's a good idea. Keep the recording going. Yes, until yeah. That's lovely. Okay, we don't need to dwell on that one, but okay. Now, you see, I think these notes are old. 2018. It doesn't actually. Oh, yes, it does. Sorry. Session 2 and right up to session 8. You could cross out the 7 there because we're doing a 9-week course. You would lead one practice of last week's exercise. Right. Then you have the feedback. And if you've got a group, it could take quite a long time. And then, are you reading diaries? How are we managing that? It's up to you. You can listen to their tale and then read their diaries. Actually, I never read the diaries anymore. It's in a group, it took too long. And I couldn't retain all that information anyway. So I think, I don't know about you, Donna and Patricia, but actually just hear their stories and their tales. And the best way is for them to be referring to their diary, because that reminds them the things they want to say. So some people don't keep diaries at all. I've got one person in my group at the hospital at the moment who is keeping a diary, and he forgot to bring it with him yesterday. So nobody had any notes. Okay, that's the way it goes sometimes, but we keep encouraging it. Then you're going to introduce the new autogenic exercise. And in the recordings, I wasn't sure how much you explained. Sorry, I took some notes here, but so if you're really getting the practice for doing this and you're introducing, say, the warmth exercise, you do need to explain it. We can't just bundle straight into this is the warmth exercise, right? Sit like this and do the thing, and you take them through. They need some background to it. What is it for? It's an opportunity for them to say, oh, I am feeling warmth already. I don't get any heaviness. That's quite interesting. What is the warmth about? It's about the circulation. Explain a little bit about that. The relaxation response. You've got far more detail in your notes. I'm not going to go through it now. But the skin temperature can rise, and that's how we get the sensation of warmth, but not for everyone. So you need to make sure you really do introduce the exercise, and maybe you would have done in a real situation. I think these recordings are not always easy, are they? Because we're not quite sure what we're doing and so on. Any comments as I'm saying all this? No? Okay. So then, having introduced and explained the new autogenic exercise, then you're going to do the practice of it. So that's what you were practicing doing. You were leading through, and that was lovely. And some of you were doing it really quite slowly. I wouldn't do it all that slowly, but we'll get on to that in a moment. It's a bit about being ordinary rather than trying to do a performance. And of course, when you know you're being recorded, of course you're going to do a performance. So, but then again, this is probably Jane Bird, having done it for 40 years. I am going to criticize, and I'm not meaning to be doing that really. Now, after that first practice of the new exercise, it's extremely important that you also do a second practice of it, but not immediately. And I think that bit gets missed sometimes. So I never send someone away without having practiced a new autogenic exercise twice. And an example of that would be with the cardiac formula. That is sometimes one that, oh, people aren't at all sure of. Actually, yesterday, somebody with the warmth exercise didn't like it. And what happened for him, which is quite unusual, he had a sudden rush of cold, which linked up immediately to, as he described it, an aversion to cold. But it sounded a bit obsessive, his behavior attached to that. He said, the trouble is, I can never get out of the shower because I know it's going to be cold when I get out, and I stay in the shower too long. And that was all he said. And I said, oh, so that was a sort of connection for you in that. That can't have been very pleasant. He said, no, it was all right. I was just thinking about that. So that was all. Just I acknowledged that's all I have to do. However, I did not want him to go home linked up with his aversion to the cold. And of course, I wouldn't have done anyway, because I always introduce a second, and we do a second practice of the new autogenics. But I've jumped ahead. So we've done the first practice. That's the feedback we hear, and we give the comments under the clarifier. Well, it doesn't matter, but certainly acknowledging what they've said. And then we would then, when we're at the time of doing the offloading exercises, that's when you start to discuss the next offloading exercise, number six. So, control inventories, we'll talk about that another time. I personally don't use them, so It doesn't really matter. We can come up with that another time. So number seven on this list is to introduce and explain and demonstrate the new offloading exercise. And people will discuss it and, oops, I don't think I like this idea, or, oh, I can't wait to do some of that. We get all sorts of reactions, don't we, Donna and Patricia, reactions to this. So then we move on to the second practice of our autogenic exercise. So what we've got here, if we follow it through, on arrival, we've done last week's. We've had feedback on last week, all of that. We've got explain and introduce the new autogenic exercise. Give them the sheets, by the way. Give them, they didn't follow through sometimes in your recordings, that you didn't say, this is the new exercise. We're going to start with my right arm is heavy. It's now a trigger phrase. And then we go to the next one, arms and legs heavy and warm, heavy rather. We're carrying forward from the last one. And I think, Bev, I think it was you who didn't introduce the peace formula at all. Maybe you discussed that afterwards. But anyway, so you need to go through on paper what the exercise actually is. And that's very reassuring for the client. They now know what they're going to do. So do give that out. It's like I'm a classical musician, so I would never dream of asking someone to play a piece of music without without knowing what it is, which is essentially what we're suggesting. Do you agree with that side of it, Donna? Do you give out the sessions? Yes. Yeah.
The sheets, it can depend, because sometimes they read them and they don't listen to you. And then you've got to wait until they've read all the sheet. So sometimes I do gauge that with the group. But yeah, it can be helpful because you go through it with them and then they know. But I definitely do explain exactly what I'm going to do before I do it.
Yes, that's very important. Thank you. Thank you, Donna. You're quite right. People do start reading. People are very different. Sometimes I say, actually, these notes are for you to read at home. I just want you to look at the exercise right now. And generally they do. And some even put the paper down on the floor, you know. So you'll find your ways. Of course you will. But then they've got a second opportunity to do that new exercise. And that is usually the time if they need reassurance that they really get the reassurance. And they're going home knowing that that exercise is fine, or how to change it if they need to, or whatever. And in the old days, we used to do a third practice of the exercise because we were all encouraged to have doing a lying down one as well. But I don't do that now. It used to be we did three separate run-throughs of the new exercise. Now we do a last week's on arrival and then just two. And two is enough. Two is fine. And of course, you haven't got the hassle of people lying down and all of that in the middle of a session. So then you get your feedback after the second practice. And so number 10 on this list, it does say the third practice. You could cross that out. I'm going to cross it out. I wouldn't do it that way anymore. But if there was time and you and your client wanted to, then you could. But you notice we've got gaps, you see. We've got gaps after the first one. We've then got onto a different topic with the offloading exercise. And then we do the second practice of the new exercise. And then after the feedback, that's probably the end of the course with reminders of their homework, etc. Is any of that news to you? It might be for you, Sebastian, but yeah, okay. So we've got a sort of flow going. Bev and here, I'm assuming that's pretty much how you would have been taught it. Can't remember. Okay.
I was not taught two different ones. No.
Well, it's like not
two positions. I was not taught that. It was only, okay. We only went through it once. Yeah.
I think we have to adapt with Zoom You know, we can't control the seating in somebody else's place. When you're face to face in a room, and if it's in your room, then you set it up so that you've got both options properly. Even if it's doing an armchair posture in a chair that I'm sitting in now, or an ordinary dining chair, you can still do an armchair posture there. It's very good to do that in the session. It reminds them of the different postures. Thank you, Pia. That is actually a very important point. If we keep reminding them of the postures, they're not going to do them all sitting back on the sofa as though they're watching TV, which, of course, they could be doing at the same time. Right. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Where are we for time? Any comments?
Very helpful.
That's helpful. Good. Good.
Very helpful. Absolutely. So simple. Yeah.
Well, in the end, yes, yeah. That's what we aim for. Yeah. And if we've got a flow going as well, because I think sometimes the main thrust of an autogenic training course is autogenic training, let's face it.
Yeah.
But then we might get caught up in the discussion of the client. They might have had a very angry week or a difficult week for whatever reason or whatever. And then we start to do the offloading exercises. And then that looks like that's the priority and the autogenic training is secondary. So I'm actually quite strict with myself. If someone is talking about those things, I say, okay, you know, you've obviously had a very difficult time. Actually, a little bit later on this morning, we're going to be talking about some aspect of that. But let's now keep to our autogenic. This is our new autogenic exercise. So we keep that at the top, keep it at the priority. And then move into the offloading. And then a lot of things will help that person as you're talking because they've had a difficult week. And then into the next autogenic exercise. Okay, well, that's great. If we've got something set in, I'm not saying set in stone. Funnily enough, having thought about all this the other day, yesterday, I thought, I think I might have to give the crying exercise. And it was the week that I would have done the anger one normally. And there was a woman who was in great pain and in great difficulty. And I thought, I'm sure a lot of this is crying need. And then she was crying during her report. And then I thought, right, no, the crying exercise is for someone who is not crying. I thought today is the day where this woman should be encouraged to cry because she wasn't. She was in the group, of course, it's difficult. And so we had the talk about what it was all about. And then she was still, I could see, holding her crying in while I was talking to the next client. So I turned back to her and I said, this is still difficult for you, isn't it? Would you like to go for a walk and just sort things out for yourself on your own? And we're lucky at the hospital. We've got a lovely square outside that people can walk around in with green trees and they can not be noticed. And I said, take as long as you like. You'll miss nothing important and we could always catch up. And she came back only about 15 minutes later. And quite clearly, she'd been having a proper cry, which was good. And then afterwards, she told me something about her process that was about grief. And I'm not going to go into all of that. But that was quite interesting. I'm hoping, I didn't say anything about it. She said, I don't know if I've grieved. I don't know if I've done this or that or the other. And I said, well, we don't always know. And I'm hoping she'll realise that an awful lot of her pain is actually that she is grieving and she has been grieving through many of her chronic illnesses. But I may be wrong, so I shouldn't be saying those things. So I didn't. We will see what she brings back next time. I'm talking too much. Where are we? Any comments from anybody yet? Yes, Sebastian.
Sorry, because I'm quite new to this, so I have a question. I mean, if you don't mind. So let's say, for example, I'm leading a session with a client, session two. I'm just, what is his name, introducing the Heaviness Part 2. And I would like to also, you know, talk about emotional discharge and perhaps to introduce an offloading exercise. Because I'm quite new to this offloading exercises, how I'm supposed to know which one is the best or what is the sequence?
There is a suggested sequence. Donna and Patricia will bear me out. There is no best one. So we teach them all.
But
We
at one
don't.
go, or we
No,
start with, because otherwise it'll
where
take
are
too
we?
long.
Wait, no, wait a minute. This is a good thing to get sorted out, not at one go. Now, somewhere is. I'm not going to find it in a hurry. We have been doing this actually through our authentic group experience. If you go back to your timetable, this is a good way to look at it. And the trouble is we haven't done it. Pierre, you've got something to say.
What you did with me here the other day, Jane, was really helpful. It was the very last sheet in the pink session, and where we were marking it down on the paper like this.
The last sheet in the pink session I was in. Thank you. Yes.
That was so helpful for me that the anchor is at session four with
No, I
walk.
haven't got this in my. Wait a minute, sorry. Mine is seem. Okay, I think you've put it in the last sheet of your pink session, and I'm sorry to say that's not where I've got mine, and I don't know why.
I have it in another one, but I can't remember where.
That's where mine is, Jane, as well, in the pink.
Oh, good. Well, I'm very glad to hear it then. Let's work with that. Have you found that, Sebastian? In the pink session, there's a little grid, as Pia showed us. And if not, I'll find it and send it to you.
It's like this, Sebastian.
It says autogenic. Yes, that's the one at the bottom of that sheet. Yes, we were talking about that. Where have I put that? Isn't that strange? I
Just
want to
after
put it.
the complete autogenic package.
Yeah. I wonder if, in talking about it, I took it out here and I haven't put it back in. That's the only thing I can think of, which is a very dangerous thing to do with our training manual.
Yeah. It needs amending as well because we've got an eight session.
Yes, and Pierre and I were talking about that, and we are looking at the one underneath it at the bottom of that sheet, which says
Yeah.
nine. So yes, we should take out that eight session bit. Any luck yet, Sebastian?
I know where it is.
Yeah, I found it. Thanks.
You
Yeah,
found
thanks.
it. Good, good,
Yes.
good, good. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. No, that's really important because it's an extremely important question. And of course, because we're on a therapist training course, we haven't been running our sessions exactly the same as when you're with a client. So just run through it, the motor garbage and the noise I would give with Heaviness Part Two, which is your third session. That's confusing, isn't it? Heaviness Part Two is your third session because we've had short stitch for number one. Heaviness Part One is session two.
Being honest, I didn't pay attention, to this, what is its name, to this page with the time table. How do you, yeah. So I have here the table, so it's very clear, status session one up to nine. Yeah, it's very clear now. It's
Up to
handy.
one to nine. So cross out one to eight because we're not doing it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Good. That's lovely. That's what we're here for, to clarify these things. Okay.
Jane, am
Yes.
I hearing that basically what you're advocating here is that short stitch is always done as a separate session at the beginning, then? You're never advocating introducing short stitch at another time.
That's absolutely correct. Shall we recap on that? Because I know I will have explained it, but then if we weren't quite sort of with it, that was in day one, so I can quite understand that.
Yeah, my understanding is that how it's been presented up to now is that it's up to us whether we choose whether we're doing an 8 or a 9 week course. So this is quite new now, the fact that that option's being taken away?
This is actually the first year that we've taken away that option. And it's because Donna, in her wisdom, ran a course, a session on AT talks with short stitch as the subject. And what was really interesting that came out of that was, surely then we should have short stitch on its own at the very, very start of the autogenic course. And
not in week three.
Sorry?
And not in session three.
And not in session three, because that's what the training manual says, doesn't it? I'm so sorry. It was all so last minute. I couldn't go with the fine-tuned combing and get that in. You're quite right. It was traditionally thrown into the course. And that meant that nobody ever did it. And then I was realizing that people needed the short stitch. They didn't know how to do it. I had shown it to them in week three and nobody did it. And then when I said, look, you must go back to short stitch for a couple of days, they didn't know what I was talking about. They hadn't done it. And I realized I hadn't given it enough prominence. And then I thought the answer to the whole of that problem is to give it in the first week, because look at all the other things we're doing in week one. We've got everything I've just said earlier, postures, how to do autogenics, passive concentration, not looking for results, casual and nonchalant. We've got demonstrating the close. Why do we close? So much information in week one. And if we then put in long, heavy, it's all right. But some people find it very difficult to start their autogenic training at home, their practice. And it becomes, oh, I've got to sit down and do it. I'm not going to be able to remember it. I'll do it tomorrow. And so they come back the next week having done very, very little. Now, if people have only got the short stitch and that's all they've got to practice, I'm not saying they will practice it very much, but at least that first week is not wasted. And so even doing short stitch at the start can start their process. Some people get quite strong reactions. It's amazing. But others, even if they're not practicing, their observations are, oh, it just feels like doing my school homework and I've got to please the teacher and I've got to do this. And I say, yeah, that is what autogenic observations are like. They make you look at yourself, even if you're not doing it. It's in your mind. Something's going on. And over the years, I have never varied from doing that. But so many colleagues have been, well, I don't want to be talking personally, but well, so many colleagues have carried on just tossing it in and then complaining that patients never do it. Well, there is no motivation to do it when you've got your nice long ones. And why do we recommend short stitch? You've cottoned onto this. You were mentioning it in your recording, Sebastian.
Yeah, being honest, I think for me helped a lot, because, you know, sometimes when you're under pressure, when you're in pain, you know, it's better doing a short stitch instead of, you know, you get demotivated because, you know, you couldn't, you know, catch up. Exactly. So I think, yeah, sometimes they are really useful.
Yes. And it's more even than you've said. Of course, you've got an issue going on for you, haven't you? And that's being taken care of. And you've got to. So that's going on for you anyway. But we can also apply it to when an autogenic process just seems to be a bit overwhelming. And like you advised your client in your demo, that was really good. Just to go back to short stitch for a couple of days and let things settle down. It's a brilliant exercise. And of course, once you get to the trigger, which happens in week three, and you're saying, well, look, you're well prepared for this. You've had a whole week doing right arm heavy. Your brain knows exactly what's coming next, and it becomes a trigger much more effectively than just doing heavy and then jumping in. So I can appreciate, Pia and Bev, that wasn't the way that you taught. So I'm glad we're revisiting that. And I think it was Anne who suggested after that talk, Donna, I think we should put short stitch absolutely firmly at the front of an autogenic training course. And I said, hooray. And so it doesn't matter if they haven't done any. Actually, it does matter, because of course you could say, so how was it? And so on and so on. And they will have done some, because usually people say, oh, I didn't do it. I wasn't a really good student. When you ask them, so what have you done? A lot comes out of the woodwork. Well, I did some on Friday morning. I think I did about 3 sessions on Friday morning, but nothing happened. Well, that's quite a lot to talk about, isn't it? So, okay, was it comfortable? Well, I was interrupted. Well, there was this and that. And I've said, this is the stuff of learning how to do autogenics. You're doing really well. You did 3 on that Friday morning. What about in bed at night? Oh, yes, I did it in bed every night. Yes, I really like that. So then you're teasing out of them what they have done, rather than focus like the bad student on what they haven't done, which is what clients often do. They're often very hard on themselves. So it's quite nice just to realise, actually, no, let's turn this round. And that's about the encouragement we can give them. Everything that you're doing, even when you're not doing it, be aware of what that feels like. And you've got guilt about the homework or something, write that down in your diary. Yeah. And they're well ready after a week like that to move into heaviness. And it's such a relief to get into something a bit more substantial, a bit more balanced. I'm sure you find this, Patricia and Donna. Yes. And oh, gosh, this is lovely. Yes. Now, if that was in week one, they don't approach it. They can't approach it like that. We've fed them too much other stuff. But if we've just given them that little in and out, right arm heavy, it's a little taste and a lot of practice in finding the postures, in how to close, in what it feels like between in an exercise and out of an exercise. There's so much. Say all that I'm saying to them, that I'm saying to you now, to them, the client. There's an awful lot that you learn with little old short stitch.
I think it's excellent to put it in week one.
Yeah.
Really good. It feels feels cleaner somehow.
Yes, it is cleaner. And you'll find that although, I mean, I had somebody yesterday who I suggested do short stitch and she couldn't remember it and it was only 2 weeks ago. So, but a quick reminder and she was fine. Yeah. I think you said the word here earlier, simple. If we keep things simple, it's also accessible, I think. People are able to absorb things. And if there's a nice routine flow of each session. So coming back to your sheet there, Sebastian, offloading, starting in week 3 with the fun ones, and we can all have a laugh as we shake about and use the noise one and so on. I do the anger one with the warmth, because everybody has some kind of frustration in there. Everybody's got something in their lives, some sort of aggravation, some kind of disappointment, some kind of hurt, some kind of old resentment. There's all sorts of stuff. So let's start with perhaps, you used the word the best one, but of course I will say perhaps the one that people relate to most easily. Would you say that's the right sort of way to describe it, Donna and Patricia? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it can be quite fun as well, which I think allows more people to get into it, because it can be quite scary. It's a big topic and it can be quite worrying to some people. But it actually, if you explain it in the right way, you can make it fun, and then they can't wait to get home and have a go.
Yeah, thank you. That is so important. And I demonstrated it yesterday in a very clumsy way, pretending it was a neighbour and so on. And this guy, he was smiling at the end and he said, I've done that, but he was there. So we all had a laugh about that. And I said, right, well, if you've done that when he was there, I can bet you did not say what you really wanted to say to him. And so anyway, they got it from there. The anger exercise is the permission to say all the things that you would never dream of saying in reality to somebody. And that's where it can turn fun and people go away laughing. I can't wait to start this. And we're changing the energy. The anger is changed through the verbalization. It just disappears. It is hot air. That really it is. It's hot air coming out on your on the words. So that's the anger. Crying one I do next, but with the anger one, I always say, actually, we can cry with anger, can't we? So if you suddenly find yourself crying in the middle of your anger exercise, go with it. Do it. Of course, it's there. I don't talk about the exercise at that point. The crying exercise, no. But do point out that emotions are not kind of tied up in neat little boxes. And when we touch the anger one, there's nothing else coming through. Of course, it'll come through. And then I do the crying exercise with the heartbeat formula in week five and the anxiety exercise in week six. And when we were talking about these at our last weekend, I know that I said I leave the anxiety one until last with these. Even though we get a lot of people suffering from anxiety coming to autogenic training. Now, there's two reasons for this. The first one is that the great man Schultz always said, don't tackle the problem head on. Oh, you suffer, Mrs. Smith, from anxiety. Right, we've got just the exercise for you. It's the anxiety offloading exercise. It'll terrify the living daylight out of them. And so when we get to doing the anxiety exercise, I always say it could be that your anxiety levels are beginning to diminish and calm down, and people will often nod. And I will say, well, if you're doing your autogenic training, that's one way that the anxiety is beginning to sort itself out. A second way is if you're doing your anger offloading, that's another way that anxiety can be sorting itself out because if our emotions sometimes scare us. So then if our emotions are making us anxious, then we've got some anxiety going on. So if you're dealing with that emotion, that's another reduction of anxiety. And the third reduction of anxiety can be if you're doing crying exercises. So I always say that, and nobody has ever done, well, they're doing their AT, but nobody has ever done all of these. But that's the way to introduce the anxiety exercise. We say, well, we'll do this last because it only really applies to something which a specific event. Now, I want to ask all of you good students, have you done the anxiety offloading exercise about doing the test tomorrow? Miss Patricia and Donna, it's a lovely example, isn't it, of how what we get from our clients. Because we teach them the offloading exercises, and then a golden opportunity comes up for using it, and they don't think about it. And that's what's happened for you. We're sitting on our worries about the test instead of saying, I'm afraid of the test, 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 I'm afraid I'll fail, 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 I'm afraid I'm no good, 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 I'm afraid, oh no. And then something will pop into your head, which will say, oh come on, you're okay.
I haven't done it, Jane, because I'm not afraid of the test. I'm
No.
anxious about the test. It's a test. It will be what it will be. I'm revising and, I'm okay about the test.
It'll be what it'll be. We're only finding out how much we know, which is quite useful. Yes, thank you, Bev. Very good answer. And Bev, sorry, and Pierre and Sebastian, of course, have sort of spoken a little bit about that. But there we go. Hey, this is the stuff of the offloading, isn't it, Patricia and Donna? Yeah.
Homework.
I really loved your practicing example of the anxiety offloading exercise, though, Jane. That was great. Thank you for that.
I won't forget that e exercise now, so that's perfect. Great.
Yeah. And it's a very good example of how the anxiety offloading is for specific things. the job interview, the exam, or start a university, or whatever circumstance we're in. But non-specific is more connected with emotions, without a doubt. I don't know that there's any studies been done about it, but from my observations over the years, it's got to be. And therefore, that's why if we encourage the crying and the anger exercises as more important, actually, more important for helping people who suffer anxiety. There we go. We're at 10:20. Any other queries? Anything to add, Donna and Patricia?
I just think I was going to say about my experience with clients and the anxiety. Not all clients, but some of them just downright don't want to do it because they think by repeating that same phase over, they're going to implant it in their brain and it will become even more real than it is.
And so that, what do you tell them?
Well, I ask them, just give it a try.
Okay, there is an absolute answer to that problem, which is that when you are speaking it out loud and verbalizing, you are expressing the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And we all know what happens to those silent worry thoughts in there. They multiply. So it's the key thing, to be simple, is out loud does the job.
I do tell them that. It's
important. Oh, you do. Good. Because that's actually the only message they need at that point. Because it's up to them then.
But they all agree in the end that it does work. But some of them, it takes a little time to get them to be brave enough to do
indeed.
It.
Indeed. And for the non-specifics, of course, if they're already using, because that's the other big thing. I think that the crying and the anger exercises are much easier. I relate to those much more than I do to the anxiety one. So if I'm doing those two, then the anxiety one is easier to practice as well. Yes, but they do say it's attached, isn't it, to the other things of positive thinking. I've talked about that before. I'll shut up about positive thinking. But, you know, when people say, oh, you don't have to worry about that, somebody says, well, actually, I am worried about it. So there's no point in pretending that you don't worry about it and not thinking about it. It's actually better to get it out. Yeah.
It's even another one of the intentional exercises that can, in the end, make a person laugh. Because if they say they're frightened of something or they're anxious about, and they're anxious because, you know, and they add to it, and they're hearing themselves saying that, and somehow then they realize how ridiculous their thinking is, and they laugh about it because it's really just all in the head. Now that they're realizing that a big drama out of something quite small.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And that is all about that shift, that movement away from. Yes. And that realization is brilliant. Yes, quite right. Yes. And as you were talking there, I had an amazing group yesterday. They got examples of all the stuff we're talking about. One woman has got in her complex where her flat is, there's a rodent problem. They've got rats. And she has a phobia about rats, and it's really, really been getting to her. And I was listening to, you know, her story, which, you know, we couldn't take long over, of course, because it's not really autogenics, except it's about how she's feeling. And I thought, well, she really needs the anxiety exercise. And I thought, well, we haven't even started these yet. I don't think that's going to make sense. So later on, we did the anger exercise. And then she said, well, I'm fucking angry with the rats. And I say, good, you go for that then. And so it sort of sorts itself out with according to what the tools we've got. I'm not going to give her an exercise about addressing the phobia that she's actually having to deal with in reality now. That doesn't make sense. And, you know, I realized afterwards that was the bit that didn't make sense. She said, I'm angry with them. That was a good moment. So, and we all had a laugh about that too. She did too. Yeah.
Beers.
Oh, yes, Bev.
Bev, sorry.
It's probably a good time to just mention something Pia and I were talking about in one of our practice sessions, which was understanding why we don't do the exercise one after the other and then do the intentional offloading exercise separately. It's almost like in the session sequence, there's a sandwich of the intentional offloading exercises going in between the practice of the new exercise in different postures. And I just wondered what the thinking was behind that.
Well, you're going to do the, it's just the recap on the previous week on arrival. That's almost separate completely. Yeah. Then you're going to go be discussing the week. Then with the new one. Yes. Yes, this is actually something rather important that may not have been voiced in our work. Of course, the advice for when they're practicing at home is they're going to do three exercises, one after the other, to complete one session or set or however we, which words we use. We don't do that in our teaching sessions because you will only have an hour with them. So if we break it up, we've still got two exercises under our belts for the reason that we're saying, so that they get a second crack at it if the first one hasn't been very comfortable. And we've talked about something completely different and we've distracted things. Distracted them a bit by doing the offloading exercise. So it's a separation. And then we do another autogenic exercise at the end. It's almost like the, let's put it another way. Students for a long time were taking people through three exercises, one after the other in the teaching session. So they didn't have a chance to give any feedback if something wasn't comfortable. They were closing, coming out, now we'll go in for the next one. And that's not good teaching practice for autogenics. We must have their feedback. So that was what was happening. And not only that, it was happening twice within an hour. They might have got the feedback and discovered that it wasn't terribly comfortable. But then they would take them through another set of three. So that was teaching we really did have to change, obviously. People had got the wrong end of the stick. So with this way, we've got the separation. And that's in the teaching class. That's good practice. I hope that makes sense, Bev.
Yeah, definitely. And there's something I think maybe about going on to do the intentional offloading exercise, which in a way helps them forget perhaps the exercise. And then when they go to do it again, it's a relearning. That makes sense. It was just something we talked about and I wondered, you know, why that was.
Yes. Yes, in a way it is a relearning, but also you will have talked about the thing that was difficult for them, you know, the new formula or whatever it might have been. So you've done some acknowledgement, which is a good thing, and you've done some reassurance. You know, this is the first time you've done this. And sometimes it's because they're uncertain of being led through. They prefer to do it at home. There's all sorts of reasons. Or they don't like the idea of the heart or whatever it might be. So, yes, we've got that gap between. And I don't know about relearning exactly, but just actually going into it with a new aspect, perhaps. Just, OK, I've been reassured. Let's just see what happens. And, of course, what we must always do, and I don't always remember to say this, but when someone is in trouble and they clearly have telling you later that they didn't like it at all and they were waiting for the end and oh dear, actually they should have closed. And then we can remind them of that. They're always in control. If something isn't settled, isn't comfortable, then close, come out, even if it's in the middle of the exercise. And then they're okay. Then they will go into it with confidence rather than, oh, I don't think I'm going to like this. Or, oh, I've got to do another one. Oh no. So we've created that space for them. And then they're all right with the second one. Okay.
Thank you.
Is that all right?
Yeah, thank you, Jane.
Well, these are really good questions, of course. Very good questions. Lovely. It's 10:30. I think it's coffee time. Did you want to make any other comments or bring anything in?